To fall asleep fast, millions of people turn to Unisom Sleep Gels. They're non-habit forming and quickly help you sleep soundly so you wake recharged. Tom? Unisom Sleep Gels. A stressful day deserves a restful night. Use as directed. Active ingredient diphenhydramine hydrochloride.
Morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Afternoon. Good afternoon. Let's hear about the weather before we start our show. It's 79 degrees, but a fairly high humidity here at 62%. This afternoon, there still is a chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 78, so we're just about there. Southeast winds around 5 miles an hour, and a chance again for some rain, 40%. And we're probably going to have less than a tenth of an inch, so you can probably run between those drops. Tonight, shower possibility of thunderstorms. Some of those storms could actually produce some heavy rainfall. So a low around 70, light variable wind becoming about 5 miles an hour till midnight. And it looks to me like you're probably going to have showers and maybe even thunderstorms tomorrow just before you're getting ready for your daily trek to work. So cloudy again tomorrow, but we will see some sun as the day moves on. So you know your weather for tonight, and you can expect maybe some showers, but it looks just plain cloudy, and like most of the day, has shaped up for us. Oh, no.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, and this is Your County at Work. I am your host, Suzanne McGann. And today we have with us our County Chief of Staff, George Wagner. Welcome, George. George is the Director of Communications in the Department of Public Safety, George, you actually just had an anniversary over there with your communications, didn't you?
Yes, Suzanne, we did. We're very proud of the fact that Hunterdon County 911 system just celebrated its 40th anniversary. We were actually formed in 1977, and we're very proud of the fact that we were New Jersey's first countywide 911 system.
Okay, well, congratulations, late anniversary. I wish I'd had a card. I could have sent it over to you. George, tell us why you are here to be the spokesperson of all this, and just let our listeners know who you are and why we're talking about 911 today.
Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation. We look forward to the opportunity to inform our citizens in reference to the 911 system that we presently have. I, too, am going to be celebrating an anniversary. Tomorrow I celebrate my 37th year with the county.
Congratulations. I didn't know that.
Yes, thank you very much.
I won't be here for it. So a hearty early congratulations.
Thank you very
much. We're the benefactor of that, by the way.
During the course of my 37 years with the county, I've obviously served in many positions. I started as a correction officer and rose up through the ranks as the county jail warden, retiring in 2005. However, in February of 2004, I also became the first county director of public safety. So while I did oversee the operations of the county jail at the time, I also assumed the role and the rank structure of the communications division.
Okay, and what prepared you for that?
Well, one of the things that I like people to know that prior to this career with the county, I did serve as a 911 dispatcher for the New Jersey State Police from 1977 to 1980. Also, as many young people in Hunterdon County, I also joined the local rescue squad. I was a member of the Lambertville Rescue Squad. I became an EMT and also went through our training center. Some people like to refer to it as the fire school, and I was a member of the West Amwell Fire Company at the time. So I think it was a natural progression to become the director of public safety and oversee some of those disciplines that I had actually been an active member of in my...
Well, you got that stuff coursing through your veins,
don't you? I do.
That's great. So our listeners may not know 911. I think those numbers ring out to everybody who hears them. But it's a division, and tell us a little bit about how the county functions with 911. How does it sort of work? I think there's sort of, at my understanding from having talked to you before this, is that it's a rather complicated relationship and structure of who you interact with and how and those kinds of things. And so I wonder if you could just give us a setup, if you will, about how all that works.
Sure. Actually, the communications is a division within the Department of Public Safety within the county. We're physically located on top of Thatcher's Hill for the locals that would know where Thatcher's Hill is. And the reason that we're sited there specifically is it's the highest point in the county. We're actually into our second version of our building. We're very proud of our site. And within the building is also housed the Office of Emergency Management as well. Our 911 system basically operates under the rules and regulations of the state of New Jersey, and also under national standards. APCO and NENA are two of the national organizations that we follow the standards and practices.
The king of acronyms.
Yes, that's we have a lot of acronyms in our business.
That's his little subtitle.
Yes.
The king of acronyms. Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, though. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. So actually, our 911 center does follow under a very strict rules and regulations, not only of the state and also nationally as well.
Oh, okay. So... tell me how it works in the county. We keep saying the county division, the county this, 911, the county. So how is that set up? What does the county do that makes that a sort of centralized function versus does every municipality have one of these, George, or is that just the county or so? Could you kind of explain that a little bit?
Well, as we alluded to previously, we are celebrating our anniversary as New Jersey's first countywide 911 center. We have 26 municipalities in Hunterdon County, and we dispatch for all 26 municipalities. So all police, fire, rescue, the sheriff's department, corrections, the prosecutor's office, the road department. What I like to say is anybody with a radio, we're dispatching and communicating with them.
So if I live out in Holland Township and I dial 911, am I going to hear you, George?
Maybe. And the reason I say that is it depends on where you're calling from and what you're calling on.
And say more about that, though, so folks listening can sort of ferret all this out.
Historically, the 911 system was designed with the traditional old telephone system, or what we like to call the landline. And the way the system was developed is that when you picked up your house phone, the traditional house phone that we all grew up with, there was an ESN number that was assigned to that. The ESN, another acronym, is the emergency services number. So when you dialed 911, whether you spoke or not into the phone, we knew exactly where you were located and who to send based on the nature of emergency. So the emergency services number, the ESN number, actually had a dedicated police, fire, and rescue responder specific to that address. And the reason I said if you live in Holland Township and you pick up the phone and call 911, it depends on if you use their traditional landline or if you use the cell phone.
Oh, I want to delve into that a little bit more in just a few minutes, but why don't you sort of tell us from the inception of a call, okay, someone has an emergency, perceived emergency or whatever, so they're going to dial 911. Tell me, if you will, where does that call go, who gets it, what, and then how they shift that and what goes next?
Well, first and foremost, we hope that people only dial 911 when there's an actual emergency.
Yeah.
Sometimes people call for informational purposes.
Really?
They call for weather reports. They want to know if a road is closed. And we try to educate the public that there's other telephone numbers that you could or should be using. 911 is meant only for emergencies. So first and foremost, we hope that when you dial 911, it is an actual emergency.
Yeah.
When you call 911, we will answer, first and foremost. We
up have there on the top of Thatcher's Hill. Right?
On top of Thatcher's Hill, and we have various redundancies. And what I mean by that is that regardless of how many people call, somebody will answer the call. If there was an inordinate amount of people calling, if there was a large emergency, and it was beyond our capabilities, not only the manpower capabilities, but also the system capabilities, there are redundancies built into the system where other counties would then pick up your phone call. No 911 call should ever go unanswered.
So wait, stop right there. I have a question. If a lot of people call at one, that's an automatic thing, right? That,
yes.
That this automatically flips to, quote, another county. But one would assume that that's not happenstance. That's all planned out and whatever, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Actually, the system is built in that we have counties that serve as our backup, and we serve as other county backups. As an example, you would tend to think that contiguous counties, as an example, Warren or Somerset County, would be our redundancies. And they are. But what you might not think of is we're also the redundancy for Gloucester County. And you say, well, Gloucester is not contiguous to Hunter County. That really doesn't process well. Well, the reason behind that concept is that if there's a situation where the whole area is overwhelmed, then we would have redundancies outside of our area. So Gloucester County would then be handling if Warren, if Hunterdon, if Somerset were overwhelmed, the calls would still be answered by somebody else. And that's why I sort of hesitated with, will you be the one answering my call? Maybe, but maybe not. Depends on the circumstances.
Okay, thanks for that out shoot. That's pretty darn interesting, actually. It makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
It really does. So, okay, so I stopped you. So we got to the call, and it is answered in up on Thatcher's Hill Road. Okay,
yes,
what happens next, George?
Well, a dispatcher would answer your call, and the first thing, they have to find out what the nature of the emergency is. Is it a fire emergency? Is it a medical emergency? Is it a police emergency? Once they find out what the emergency is, they need to find out where you're located. And once again, since we don't have that ESN number, they have to query and they have to interact with the caller to make sure that they know exactly where you are, because based on your location is based on the responders that will be sent to you.
Okay, and then what?
Once they've identified what the nature of the emergency is and where you're located, they're going to be sending the appropriate responders. So as an example, if it's a police emergency, not all 26 municipalities in Hunter County have their own police department. If they do, they are going to be interacting with the local police department. If they don't, they have to interact with the respective state police barracks. So we have several different state police barracks that have territories within Hunter County.
Okay, and I know what happens next is pretty interesting, but I'm going to stop here for a commercial break. We'll listen to a few of those commercials, and we'll get back and find out what happens when the rubber meets the road.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Together we stand. Welcome back to Hunterdon Chamber Radio. This is Your County at Work, and I am Suzanne Legay. We have our guest today, George Wagner, who is Chief of Staff, Director of Communications, Emergency Communications, and a whole lot of other stuff that we ask him to do. But basically, we were talking before the break about what happens, George, when a call comes in. So just rehash that quickly, and then I want to hear from you a little bit more about in the weeds on that, because I think it's really fascinating to the average listener and to our citizens.
So previously we were discussing when a 911 call is received, what the 911 dispatcher is going to do. They're going to ascertain what the nature of the emergency is, and they're also going to ascertain what the location is, and they're then going to dispatch the appropriate first responders. We were talking about police being sent when necessary. And we had also discussed the fact that not all of our 26 municipalities have their own police departments. So in some cases, we have to pass that dispatch on to the state police, and we have several different barracks that service Hunterdon County. If the nature of the emergency was a first aid rescue squad, we like to refer to them as EMS, another acronym in our business, but we would be dispatching the appropriate EMS or fire district responders into that area. And the one thing I want listeners to also understand is the fact that if you were to visualize a map of Hunterdon County, the first responders that may be sent to your location might not necessarily coincide with the municipal territorial boundaries.
Oh, wow.
As an example, Lambertville Rescue Squad responds out into other townships, West Stamwell, East Stamwell, Stockton being one of them. West Stamwell does not have its own first aid squad, so they have to rely upon either Lambertville or Amwell Valley to respond into their area. So if you were to envision the map of Hunterdon County, you could envision another overlay of the EMS, the rescue squad areas, overlapping some of those territorial boundaries. And similarly with the fire companies, the fire companies have also developed what is known as a mutual response plan, or in our business we refer to it as fireboxes, and it's basically a script of who is responding under what circumstances.
Okay, so the there's coverage. If folks are covering for each other. So I'll tell you what, I'm a housewife, and little Johnny is playing with his blocks as far as I'm concerned, and the next thing I know, he's dialing 911 on my cell phone, which I inadvertently left on the coffee table. So what happens to those kinds of calls, George, when someone calls inadvertently or, God forbid, a real emergency, but then can't carry through? How does that work?
Well, our county policy is that that's referred to as a 911 hang-up, and there will be a response, guaranteed. Even if you were to call and say Johnny misdialed, or you were trying to dial an international number, or you were trying to dial 411, but you misdialed and dialed 911, rest assured somebody is going to be responding to that area.
When you mean responding, you mean they're going to show up?
We are going to send a police officer to your door to make sure that it was an actual misdial, to make sure that you're not being threatened to provide false information. And certainly we've had experiences here in Hunter County, both with a medical emergency where people have dialed 911 but have not been able to speak. So As the dispatcher is trying to get the information, what's the nature of the emergency, where are you located, we will be sending somebody. Also, there has been some instances of criminal activity. Specifically, there was a home invasion in a municipality that I won't name.
Yes.
But that person had called 911 in an attempt to get help, and the person had ripped the phone off the wall, and obviously that person wasn't able to continue on with the conversation. But because we had the police officers respond to the address, they actually caught the subjects, the perpetrators, in progress of the home invasion, and actually arrested them. We've also had instances where there's been medical emergencies where people couldn't speak, and we've also had situations.
Yeah, I mean, somebody could pass out, as an example.
Absolutely.
Right? Make a
could
call
have
and
a
then
heart
just
attack,
not. Yeah, yeah.
Could be choking. Can't verbalize what the circumstances are.
Now, it's not always a home. One would imagine it could be the highway, or it could be in the store, the grocery store, or something. Right?
Correct. And, you know, that leads us to one of our other challenges in reference to, as people decide to cut the cord is the term that's being kicked around now. And some people don't have the traditional landline. They don't have a home phone number. And that basically negated that whole ESN, emergency service number. Traditionally, we would know where you were located based on the landline. The telephone company would be charged with keeping that data. Now with cell phones, we don't have that information available. So that's even more the reason why the dispatcher is going to be asking you where you're located and what the nature of the emergency is, so they can send the appropriate responders.
Yeah. I want to add this, because I've been to the emergency center a couple times on tours, and it's always, every time I'm there, I learn more. But I think it's important when we're talking about children in a family, or even older folks or visitors, and that is that there's a difference between saying I'm in Flemington just because your post office address is, what is it, 08822 or whatever it happens to be, is it right, I guess?
Yeah.
That you live really in Raritan Township.
Correct.
So little kids and folks that aren't familiar really need to give those addresses clearly as possible. And very often in an emergency, people are harassed, sort of like I am trying to run this board here between commercials. But, you can imagine that folks are excited or whatever. So just for our listeners, I think that's a piece of interesting information, is to make sure that folks visiting, you know, if it's a longer stay with, in-laws and certainly kids, is you need to be really specific about the street and what town you're in, even if you're in your car or on a highway marker. Those kinds of things are kind of important to be aware of, right?
Well, I think you bring up a very good point, is the fact that your mailing address isn't specifically your physical address. And that's what the dispatchers are going to hone in on. They're going to try to get that. And you also raise a very good point. Some of our visitors wouldn't know what our address is. And if the homeowner is the person that's in an emergency state,
yeah,
the visitor might not be able to articulate that. Our suggestion was always, traditionally with the landline, to have your address where your phone was. So even when people who live there and should know their address, sometimes they're very excited when a loved one is in the middle of a medical emergency, they can't remember their own address. Obviously, the cell phones being what they are, the nature of that has changed that a little bit. But historically, that was always our suggestion. Put your physical address near your phone.
Yeah. The other thing that I thought was very, very interesting that our folks might not know, when we were chatting last week about, you know, what could we talk about and what our citizens would really benefit from, you talked about texting 911, and I thought that was pretty interesting. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, what we have now is we do have the capability. The technology is there where people can actually text into the 911 center, and we do have people that are monitoring that technology 24/7. But we prefer that people call 911 in an emergency. Our saying is call when you can and text when you can't. So a perfect example is that when you can call in and you can engage in a conversation and give the 911 dispatcher the information that they're going to need to send the appropriate responders, please do so. But there might be certain circumstances, unfortunately, where we're talking all the time about active shooters. So there could be a situation where you're hiding in a closet. There could be a home invader. And certainly you can text the 911 instead of talking, speaking out, and then giving out your location to might have some adverse consequences. So text when you can't, but certainly call 911 when you can.
Okay, now I'm gonna say one more. Supposing we have a bad storm and we've got lines down, or cell phone interruptions, or your cell phone is dead, right? So what kind of, for instance, let's just talk about Superstorm Sandy or something like that. When people didn't have a place to charge their cell phone, say, or they couldn't use their cell phone, you'd mentioned something about nowhere to go, and I said to you, is that N-O or K-N-O-W?
K-N-O-W.
Okay, good. So tell us about nowhere to go, okay? Because I think that sort of fits in with our technology. We are so reliant, aren't
yes.
we, on it?
Yeah. So. Well, we are relying on technology, and we do have various forms of social media. We're called communications, and our job is to communicate with our citizens. So basically, our social media platform consists of Facebook, and we have various products like Nixel and Twitter. But all of them are dependent on the internet and also power being available. And one of the lessons that we learned in Superstorm Sandy is that in the worst case scenario, where we don't have power, we don't have internet, our citizens don't have charged cell phones, we have to rely on going back to what we would refer to as the good old days, the Stone Age. What did we do before we had internet? What did we do before we had communications? And certainly one of the lessons learned during Superstorm Sandy is being able to communicate regardless of our capabilities in reference to social media or the internet. And what we did was we went back to the old-fashioned way of printing out public service announcements, which we then distributed to the 26 municipalities through various means, whether it was through our own county employees or whether it was through the individual police departments, and put that notice of information on prominent locations. As an example, city hall, town hall, a fire hall, wherever people would normally...
Schools, maybe, right?
Schools, where people would normally gather for information. And what we were doing is we were posting the fact that the county had a shelter for people. We had a shelter for animals. We had water distribution. We had ice distribution. And one of the things in rural Hunterdon County, when you don't have power, you can't flush your toilets.
Yes, I know that very well.
So we had both potable water and non-potable water, where people could actually take water to drink or water out of our county garden hoses to take home and flush down their toilets. We also had showers that were available for people because some of the schools and some of the businesses were still available. They were open. So we wanted to make sure that even though people didn't want to necessarily shelter, they didn't need a place to sleep, they did need a place for hygiene purposes.
Sure.
And we provided showers in our county buildings where people could come clean up. We opened our library. People could charge their cell phones and go about their normal day as much as it could be normal during Superstorm Sandy.
Yeah. I know we're lapsing into emergency management here, not just emergency calls, and that's a whole other subject. You and I may have at another date here.
Yes.
is to talk about some of that. But I think the fact that there were two things. One, I heard you mention, which I want to reiterate, and the other one, I'm not sure if you mentioned. One was that even animals, right? I mean, some folks don't want to leave their home because they're worried about an animal, right? So that we have animal shelters.
Well, that was a lesson learned during Katrina.
Okay.
And one of the lessons learned during Katrina was the fact that people will not leave their pets alone. They will not leave them behind. And a lot of the agencies that manage shelters would have a prohibition against animals. So the people would not come if you didn't allow their household pets. But since this is Hunterdon County, people have other animals that aren't household pets. We have a county CART team, and they
Say
would
those,
actually...
Those are, there's letters
another
again.
Acronym. Yes,
Tell
we have
us
a lot of
means.
Those. So that's the Hunterdon County Animal Response Team, and they actually have a small animal and large animal unit, so they could take care of anything from dairy cows and horses, to goats, to llamas, to any variation we have here in Hunterdon County. The household pets would obviously be sheltered on the same property as the people. The farm animals, for the lack of a better term, would be sheltered somewhere else.
Okay. And there was another part of that I want to ask you, and I realize that we're tapping a little bit into emergency management, but we have to hear from our news. So we're going to take another break here, right here, George, and we're going to listen to the news.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I can see now, if you want to look, Katie, that's now protesters throwing bricks at the police vehicles.
Violent riots now taking place in Germany outside the site of the G20 summit. Reporters on the scene say they are being hampered by tear gas and smoke.
Our faces are burning. Eyes are stinging because, you know, that tear gas is called tear gas for a reason.
Louisiana Congressman Steve Scalise is back in intensive care. Doctors at MedStar Washington Hospital have downgraded Scalise's condition from fair to serious as he battles a leg infection following last month's shooting in Alexandria, Virginia. Another update on the House Majority Whip's condition expected later today. As many expected, it was just a quick meeting between President Trump today and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. It lasted less than half an hour and a brief photo op with no public comments. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. Gold was $300 per ounce when I started buying. Today it's over $1,200. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. All those other firms are selling gold bullion. It's not rare, it's not proven, and they have a huge markup because they've commissioned salesmen. I have found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesale of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission prices no one can compete with. All conservatives understand the hole America's in. We owe $20 trillion in debt. We all know gold is the answer. It's our insurance policy. But now you can buy your gold wholesale, just like dealers, without commission salesmen involved. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com. You'll never buy gold from anyone else ever again.
Environmental groups are furious that President Trump is going to open up land off the New Jersey coast for oil and natural gas drilling.
The Interior Department opened a forum for public comment earlier this week. Trump has promised to undo protections put in place by President Obama's Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, which protects nearly 4 million acres in the Atlantic Ocean, stretching from Maryland to Massachusetts. Environmental groups, including the Sierra Club, are suing. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
France plans to ban all gas and diesel-powered cars and trucks by 2040. Today's announcement by the new environmental minister is part of President Emmanuel Macron's plan to make France carbon neutral by 2050. The announcements are elements of France's five-year plan to encourage clean energy and reach the country's commitments under the Paris Climate Agreement. There's been no word from the government how they plan to replace the gas and diesel-powered cars and to continue to help industry in the country. USA Radio News.
Weeds love your garden. They hide near flowers knowing you can't touch them. Now you can, with Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot 1 from the Home Depot. A special buy at just $19.97. The protective shield means pinpoint accuracy, so you can target weeds without harming surrounding plants. With Roundup in hand, weeds are in trouble. Roundup Weed and Grass Killer with SureShot Wand, just $19.97, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through August 2nd while supplies last, U.S. only.
An anti-gun peace vigil is being held tonight outside a New York City hospital where a former doctor shot and killed a colleague and six others.
Healthcare workers at Bronx Lebanon Hospital will be joined by community and religious leaders. They'll rally for peace and against gun violence, honoring the memory of Dr. Tracy Tam, a 32-year-old physician, killed in a murderous rampage by a doctor who'd been fired there 2 years earlier. Six others shot by Dr. Henry Bello are still hospitalized, some after undergoing multiple surgeries. A candlelight vigil to be held there later tonight. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
The liberal-leaning National Education Association wants to limit the growth of charter schools. Here's Chris Barnes.
The National Education Association adopting a policy statement this week aimed at limiting charter school growth and increasing accountability for such schools. The NEA says in a statement that handing over what it calls student education to privately managed, unaccountable charter schools jeopardizes students and harms communities. The new policy calls for charter schools to be monitored by local school boards, and it also says they should comply with all the same rules and regulations as public schools do. I'm Chris Barnes.
Private sector job creation weaker than expected. The morning report from ADP and Moody's Analytics shows the economy added 158,000 private payroll jobs in June. That's short of the 180,000 jobs analysts were expecting, well below the 230,000 private jobs created in May. USA Radio News.
Back to 100 in Chamber Radio and our guest, George Wagner, Chief of Staff and Director of the Division of Emergency Communication. And just before we broke, George, we were talking about sheltering, and I know that we were lapsing a little bit off our 911, but we talked that we do shelter animals, you know, and folks, and that there's convenience shelters, right, where people can just plug in a cell phone or get themselves showered or whatever. But the one thing that I thought was very, very interesting that I learned from you, and that is this medical sheltering. And you know, what we do know about the county is it's an aging population, and that conceivably we have a fair number of people that might need some medical attention. So just tell us a little bit about that before we move on, if you will.
Well, through our various incidents that we've had in the county, whether it was Irene or Superstorm Sandy, we constantly revise our plan. And the latest version of our plan is that we would bring everybody to the Route 12 county complex and then actually sort out people based on their triaging and actually based on their needs. And first and foremost would be those people that are medically compromised and have some medical needs. They would actually be kept at Route 12, and that's because that's where our health department is. And we would have the appropriate people there to take a look at, you know, take a look after their medical needs. And then after that, we have a relationship with Holland Township and the Regal Ridge Community Center, and that's what we identify as our general population. And those people that are not medically compromised and don't have medical needs would then be sent out to Regal Ridge. We've never been in a situation where we had to look at something greater, thankfully. But if we were beyond capacity to that, we would then reach out to our regional shelter areas, the closest being RVCC. They have some large buildings and some mass sheltering capabilities. But what we've learned is that our residents of Hunter County are pretty self-reliant.
Yes.
They'll come and visit us for some water and some ice, but pretty much they've been through it. And I think a lot of people, after the lengthy power outage that we all lived through during Superstorm Sandy, a lot of people have become more self-reliant by getting their houses under generator power.
And certainly the county has, from what you tell me, has gotten itself more generator prepared. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yes, we have. We have been the recipient of some hazardous mitigation grants that we applied for, received hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we have applied those to our lessons learned and outfitted various county buildings at the Route 12 complex and also our gas pumps that actually fuel many of our emergency responders through our shared services agreement. So we want to make sure that our first responders, the police, fire, rescue agencies, as well as the county assets have the ability to get guests to respond in a timely manner, regardless of the power circumstances in the county.
And unfortunately, that is for emergency and first responders. That is not for our citizens.
That is correct.
For our guests, yeah. And that's understandable in an emergency for sure. We've talked about these calls coming in 24/7, 365, huh? So who are these people that answer these phones? Who are they?
Well, what I would say to you is they're very highly trained individuals and they're subject matter experts. I alluded to earlier is the fact that we do apply state and national standards, and New Jersey Office of Information Technology is actually the group that requires our dispatchers to receive certain training. So when you start as a Hunter County dispatcher, the first month of your career is spent in classroom, and we're not only teaching you about our policies and procedures, but we're also ensuring that you receive the required certifications required by not only the state of New Jersey, but also the national standards as well.
And give us an example of what those certifications might be.
All 911 dispatchers are required to have CPR training because under certain circumstances, they have to be giving CPR instructions to the person on the other end of the phone. So every dispatcher would have basic first aid and also CPR training and the certificates required for that as well.
What are any other certificates that?
They would have first aid training. They have policy and procedures that they're required to do. And they're also required to complete a test that shows that they have the foundational skill, the knowledge, skills, and abilities required to be a 911 dispatcher.
Now, is that an in-house training program, George, or do they go off-site? The 911, what do we call them, 911 technician, or what's the exact title? I'm sorry.
They're called, in New Jersey, because we operate under civil service, they're called emergency telecommunications operators.
Okay, so thanks. Do they have to go off-site and have a training? Is that something we do here?
It's actually we do in-house. It's a six-month training program. The instructors that provide the training are certified to be CTOs, certified training officers, and basically, once again, those operators are in a classroom for the first month, and then for the next 5 months, they are out there first monitoring the 911 calls with a certified training officer sitting next to them. They monitor, and then slowly they transition over the next 5 months. The standard that I apply is, would I be comfortable with that person answering my 911 call?
Okay, good. So, and how many of these folks, if we're saying, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, huh? So what kind of staffing does that take? And I have a part B.
Okay.
Part B is if a storm is coming, if you're A, caught off guard, or B, if you know it's coming and so forth. So how do you staff for it, George? And what do we do that's extra in terms of preparation for some of this stuff?
So what I'd like our listeners to envision is that our 911 center presently has 12 dispatch positions, but we don't staff 12 dispatch positions 24/7. We staff based on our statistical numbers. And as an example, in Hunterdon County, we staff higher during rush hour, the morning rush hour, the evening rush hour, and also during the early morning hours when there's a lot of police activity on the roads consistent with the taverns closing. So 2 to 3 o'clock at night, there's a lot of activity. So generally speaking, we have 6 people that are working per shift. During the midnight hours, it might drop down to 4, but then once again, in anticipation of the morning rush hour, we'll be staffing up again, once again, at 6 o'clock. So our statistics guide our regular staffing patterns. Part B of your question was
I have, I'm never without a word.
Right.
But when I think of things like hospitals or places where you must have people that are trained all the time to handle what's current for sure, and then what's unanticipated. And I've not been in your 911 center, but I've certainly been on the hospital supervisory or directorship area where this kind of staffing is critical in terms of call-ins or people showing up or being there and so forth. So it's no easy task. I mean, it's great to be reassured that that's your staffing, and it ain't necessarily easy to get that all handled, is it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there are those knowns and there are unknowns. In reference to the immediate response or the surge capacity, we try not to count our supervisor, so that would be another dispatcher that isn't in the count on the off hours. During normal business hours, we do have other people that have the credentials that are the radio technicians that actually can go in during regular business hours and handle the unforeseen circumstances that might come up during those hours as well.
Okay, nice. And tell me, for instance, if you're watching the weather channel or whatever it is you watch, you probably don't watch the same things the rest of us at home do. But you know there's a big storm, let's say snow, but it doesn't have to be. It can be heavy thunderstorm in the summer or something. So that's moving across western Pennsylvania or eastern western. It's right on our tail or something. How does that kind of situation roll?
Well, it's interesting because one of the many monitors that are up at the communication center, one is always monitoring the weather. And once again, technology being what it is, we can pretty much see those things coming. When it happens during a shift, we can actually watch the thunderstorm cross over the Delaware River. And as it does, inevitably the lines light up, the phone lines, whether it's because there's a power outage or whether it's a lightning strike or there's wind damage or there was a weather-related motor vehicle accident. But they have the capabilities to handle those usually within the staffing pattern that's there. In reference to larger storms, whether it's Superstorm Sandy or whether it's a blizzard, we would monitor those several days out. We have staff meetings, and we would staff according with the anticipation of that storm is actually coming.
Oh, okay. Well, there's more I want to know about that. This has me fascinated. I'm pretty sure it must most of our listeners as well. But we're going to stop for a couple of quick commercial breaks, George. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
George Wagner, and we're talking about 911 or emergency services here in the county. George, thank you for continuing on here with us. We were talking about how we staff that service 24/7, 365, and how you prep for, a coming storm or something like that. The one thing I wanted to know, when you talk about we staff for the rush hour or we staff for the saloon closes out here in the Wild West, tell me how we gather stats and how you use them.
Well, our computer-aided dispatch system, CAD, is another tool that we have that basically tracks all the calls and assigns them to individual municipalities As an example, we had 186,000 dispatches last year, which averages out to about 509 dispatches a day. So we would be taking a look at exactly...
Wait, that's an important number. 109 a day.
509 a day, yes. 509 a day, 186,000 dispatches.
That's a busy operation, George. It's
a busy operation, and for the listeners that want to go back and historically take a look at the numbers, and I encourage them to do so, all the statistics are on the county website, and just find public safety, and they can click on the public safety link, and they can see that for their individual municipalities in our annual report, they can take a look at how many respective phone calls for their municipalities and how many dispatches.
Wow. And then do you plot those out in terms of the staffing situation?
Yes, we do.
So that's how you know.
Not only
other than it's not just experiential, it's actually based on historic data and
yes,
so forth.
Yes, and time of day.
Yeah. Interesting. I have a couple other things here. I just have two blurbs, and so I'm going to say this word, and that should trigger you, George, for something. tell me about mutual aid. That was something that you said might be interesting, and I must admit that I don't know a whole lot about what that means. Keyword.
Well, certainly for our listeners, they're seeing a lot of coverage in reference to the state of volunteerism, specifically here in Hunterdon County, some of the challenges that we're presently facing. Historically speaking, if somebody was a member of a local rescue or fire company, they probably lived and worked in the same community. When the fire alarm went off or the rescue squad whistle went off, people were able to leave their job and respond accordingly. That's not the situation in Hunterdon County anymore. People aren't allowed to leave their jobs. People might be working out of the county or out of the town that they're a member of. So it's created some situations for us in reference to the amount of volunteers that are able to respond, specifically during the workday. So what we find ourselves is creating a script, and mutual aid is that script. And our biggest challenge is between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. when most of the volunteers are otherwise engaged in work and they're not available. You might hear the fire whistle going off many times in your town because they're trying to get people to respond. When they don't respond in a timely manner, whether it's for a fire or rescue call, we will then be calling the next person on the list. So there's another agency.
I see.
So once again, no call goes unanswered, so we will eventually get people there. The question is the time delay. And certainly when it's a medical emergency and CPR is in progress, time is of the essence. So
we're not talking police here.
We could be talking police, but more specifically, yeah, it's usually fire and EMS.
Wow, fire as well. Okay, so that is calling other trained people to help.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think one of the other things that we wanted our listeners to understand is the fact that there is a script. So there are scenarios when the dispatcher is engaged in what some people might consider as an interrogation. It's just really trying to get the information necessary. There is a difference between sending a regular ambulance or the paramedics. So as an example, we're going to send a regular ambulance, what's known as a basic life support, BLS, another acronym. We would be sending them to the routine calls. But if there's something more serious, we're going to be sending the paramedics from the hospital, and that's known as an ALS response, advanced life support.
Okay. And a couple other sort of stats that I think are important, or no, there's one that I'm going to ask you about that I think I want to have our listeners tune their ears, because we talked about reverse 911. We talked about our Everbridge system and so forth, or the counties, rather. And I want you to sort of explain that, Nixle, to our listeners, because that's really important in identifying them and helping them help us get to them if they need us. Is that
sure?
Correct?
Well, we already talked about the challenges with the cell phones, and I want people to understand that a cell phone is nothing more than a radio. So when you dial 911, it's going to be searching for the nearest antenna. So to your point, you could be in Holland Township, you could be in Lambertville, but when you dial 911, you're actually talking to a Bucks County operator. So the operator is actually going to be asking you what your location is and gathering that information, because you think you're talking to a 911 dispatcher in Hunterdon County, but in actuality, you may not be. So that's first and foremost. The other thing is, in relation to cell phones specifically, we were able to gather information about people's landlines in reference to who had what telephone number and where they were located, if you envision the telephone book. Well, in reference to telephone books, even though they're still around, they only apply to those people that have landlines. If you have an unlisted number, you're not in the telephone book. If you have a cell phone, you're not in the telephone book. So how would we get a hold of you in case of an emergency? So we have a system that in Hunterdon County, it's called Everbridge, even though some people might be familiar with reverse 911, or they might be familiar with a system that their school system is using to notify them that there's a delayed opening or a school closing. The reason that the school has that number is probably because the parents registered. We won't have that number for you at the 911 center, especially if you have a cell phone, unless you register. So we want our listeners to register their cell phones. We want our listeners to register their unlisted numbers by going to the county website, and you'll see a little icon where you can register your cell phone or unlisted number so we can contact you in case of an emergency, much like a school system would.
Okay. Tell us two things. I want you to repeat all, not the whole thing, but I want you to repeat what they have to do to go to the website. Give the county's website. And then the other thing is a little icon. Tell us what that little icon looks like.
Sure. George. So, I mean, we can be reached if you were just to type in Hunterdon County official website or www.co.hunterdon.nj.us. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see hyperlinks for the individual departments, and public safety is one of them. You click on that, and then you'll see Everbridge. That's what you want to see. It's the citizen portal, and it's the community alerts register. And when you click on that, there will be a script. One of the other things I want people to understand is the fact that, you know, you can register for your parents' address, your mother's address, a significant other's address.
Nice.
So even if you don't live in Hunterdon, you could be alerted to situations that are occurring at that address.
Fantastic. So the county website, what's the trail again? County website.
It's www.co.hunterdon.nj.us.
And then the next thing is emergency.
You would click on public safety.
Public safety,
yes.
And then you look for Everbridge.
Yes.
Great, thank you. And it's for their benefit. I mean, it just gives us, we never use it, we never abuse it. It's for an emergency, and it can help them. It's for their source. You know what? This hour is sped by, George, and I'm sure we could keep going and going. I have a couple housekeeping things that I need to do before we're done here, but thank you so much. Thank you. A wealth of information, really.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. And can I keep an open slot down the road where we get a little deeper into emergency management?
Yes, you may.
Yes. And I also want to thank Chris Bianco for sitting here babysitting me again with my dials and buttons and radios and weathers and that kind of thing. So next week in this time slot, it's Laura Cummins will be here for sort of the Overbridge. We talked about Everbridge. The Overbridge is Hunterdon Living, and that's where all these 4 o'clock on Thursdays are. So next week is Laura Cummins, and she's going to be talking about experiencing Hunterdon with a focus on tourism, I think, but much more than that. And Your County at Work returns next month on Thursday, August 3rd at HuntertonChamberRadio.com at 4 p.m. And we're hoping to have Mark Salek. He's the director of our Economic Development Division. And we'll talk a lot about what's going on to make sure that we're marketing this county and keeping our businesses here and attracting businesses that will maintain the viability of Hunterdon County and fit within our beautiful bucolic footprint. So the one more thing before we quit here, and I'm very close to doing that, is that these broadcasts are archived, and you can listen to this broadcast at any time, particularly for all the information George had to share with us. I mean, a lot of really vital stuff. So you go to HuntertonChamberRadio.com. You look for archives, and remember this, it's under an umbrella of Hunterdon Living, and then you just want to look for today's date and time. So you can hear this again, or you can refer it to other people. Meanwhile, that's pretty much it for us for this for this week, and I'll see you again on August 3rd at this same time. 100 and Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.